You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class rolling along as we start a Thursday edition of the show here in KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you, Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important component. Thank you for joining us today from the Circa Sports Iowa studios as we get ready to take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Kloss, Gazette Sports columnist, will join us. Always good to talk with Mike. We'll look back on Cy-Hawk game and look ahead to what is in store for Iowa, Iowa State, Big Ten, etc., etc. And we'll talk a whole bunch of things and a whole bunch of subjects with Mike Kloss coming up on the program here today. Big NFL game coming up tonight that you can hear beginning at 6:30 right here on all of our frequencies of KGYM. A big retirement today and a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. All that coming your way through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DePaco.com. That is their website, DePaco.com. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. As we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As AJ Pollock just makes a nice sliding catch in left field. You can't have enough runs, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Looking forward to talking to Mike Kloss. We'll update you on afternoon baseball and other items on the Emo's Hideaway scoreboard. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. We will have the scoreboard coming up in just a little bit. I think the first thing on the docket today is, and we don't have this come up very often, Mark, but as I mentioned, a very significant retirement today in the world of sports, and not only with this retirement, but with the retirement of another superstar, in fact, the greatest of all time. I know that is thrown out a whole lot and probably too much here in this time and age, but sports today woke up with the news that perhaps at least one of the top 5, 10. I don't know. Where would you put Roger Federer, Mark, as far as the world of tennis is concerned, all time?
I don't know tennis that well, but I'm aware of Borg and McEnroe and Connors and Rod Laver and on and on and on. But he's had a terrific career. He's going to end it in London this week. That's the last tournament he will play, he announced today. Age 41, 20 Grand Slam titles. Yeah, that's right up there, isn't it?
That's not bad. That's not bad. And then that is, of course, after Serena Williams, announced her retirement, played her last U.S. Open. She is going to bow out as far as tennis is concerned. And now Roger Federer calling it a career. Now, you know, tennis is not going to go away, Mark, but this is kind of what, you know, kind of what boxing went through a little bit.
Changing of the guard.
It's a changing of the guard. And when the guard changes a little bit, and everything is cyclical in the world, we know that. You know, the following is cyclical, the popularity is cyclical, et cetera, et cetera. But now you lose Serena Williams, you lose Roger Federer. Granted, Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic are still playing, but it's tennis has got a little bit of a situation right now. I mean, it's not the most beloved and watched sport in the world anyway, but, you know, you lose some of your top players, and then that really tends to maybe put it in on the back burner a little bit more, especially with, you know, the emergence of, you know, like it or not, MMA or whatever, lacrosse even, other sports like that. You know, tennis isn't going to go away. Wimbledon is not going to go away. The U.S. Open isn't going to go away, et cetera, et cetera. But as far as being frontline sports and getting some, they're already getting less coverage, but, you know, could go away some more.
Now, I was thinking about it when Serena Williams bowed out at the U.S. Open, and I don't know the top-ranked Americans, men and women. I'm aware of Coco Gauff on the women's side.
Correct.
On the men's side, I have no idea.
And,
much like when Ali and Frazier and Spinks and on and on and on, all those guys were done, what were we left with? Can you name the heavyweight champion of the world right now?
No. I can't. And that used to
Klitschko
be...
I don't know.
Who is the heavyweight champion of the world? Text line 319-366-1600. Well,
there's four or five different organizations still, I think.
That is true as well. That is true as well. Well, every sport goes through that. You mentioned boxing. Another one was part of the reason of the big, big meteoric rise of NASCAR was the fact that it coincided with, you know, obviously a jump in popularity, but also the fact that IndyCar lost all of their big time 60s and 70s huge stars at once and then went into a split at the same time. Not good if you're the PR man as far as that, but when Foyt and Andretti and Rutherford and Unsers and all those guys call it quits, then you're going, who's left to hold things here?
And golf has gone through the same thing.
Tyson Fury says 98-69. Is that correct?
I'm aware of Tyson Fury. I don't know.
Well, we're going to take your word for it.
He's a bad man.
I don't want anything to do with any of them, no matter if they're bad or not. 319-366-1600, but happy retirement. He said he's going to not play Grand Slam matches. He will play an occasional match every once in a while, I think much like Serena Williams is. But as far as the Grand Slams, everything like that, that is going to be now in the past for Roger Federer. We've got NFL football tonight in a dandy for you to begin week number 2 of the NFL season. All of our frequencies at 6:30, as it'll be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. I'm being updated on the game tonight. I will have my full attention on Wash and Linmar coming up tonight at Kingston Stadium. By the way, 7:15, CRMLiveSports.com for Washington and Linmar with myself and John Haggerty on the call. But this is only week 2, Mark, but it is a big game. Both teams 1-0. Both teams are co-favorites to win the AFC West. All kinds of talent up and down the line. Chargers made defensive changes to try to counteract the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll see if those changes are going to bring about the Chargers taking over as far as the AFC West is concerned. They will be without Keenan Allen tonight. Chiefs are going to be without their number one pick, the corner, McDuffie, and then also Harrison Butker is not going to kick tonight. Justin Reed, I have no idea. But the top-selling T-shirt in Kansas City this week apparently was, "Our safety kicks better than your kicker," which I thought was clever.
As you mentioned, you can listen to the game here right on KGYM, but our poll question today at KGYMradio.com asks you this: will you be able to watch tonight's NFL game, yes or no? And thanks to Steve Anderson and his team, Highway 1 West in Iowa City at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Of course, the game is being shown on Amazon Prime, Prime Video, whatever it's called.
First one ever.
Number 43 for the Chiefs is Mount Vernon's very own Jack Cochran, who is elevated to the active roster. I know many of you will have an eye or an ear to that number. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That is really cool. The former South Dakota Coyote, and he will get a chance to get in. Might be a little special teams duty for him tonight. We'll wait and see anyway. Chiefs are very good at the linebacker spot.
Yes, they are.
Very salty right there. It's going to be fun, man.
Great quarterback battle.
Oh, Herbert and Mahomes. That is just, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and I got the recording set. I don't know how she's doing it. But she said that it can be done. It will be done. Don't worry about it. So I'm not going to worry about it. So I will be able to view it when I get home.
I read earlier, and some restaurants and bars, you know, who count on crowds for NFL games, what are they going to do? They can't do anything, can they?
Yeah, I'm not positive on this. I mean, this is, but you know what? This is going to be one of those nights that, you know, decades down the road, we're going to look back and say, yeah, you remember where you were on September 15th, 2022, when the first big, I guess, national streaming service game was out there. Because this, like we talked about with the Big Ten media deal, Mark, this is not going to go away. And in fact, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Reminds me of when every year that ESPN would trot out North Carolina and Duke on ESPN2 when it was new. Do you remember that?
I do.
With all the goofy graphics and things like that. ESPN2 was that weird, wild, wacky thing back in the day. ESPN was the very cut and dried, very serious station. ESPN2 was, you know, like wacky. And they'd put North Carolina Duke on there once a year. Well, just so you get ESPN2 to your cable provider. Times are changing, as they say, Mark. Have you figured it out yet, or are you going to be a...
What, the heavyweight boxing champion?
No, texting with my wife tonight to try to figure out how to watch the game. Listen to the game, folks.
I don't know that
listen to the game on KGYM.
I'm going to listen to the game and watch the Twins and Royals. And keep updated on the Chiefs and Chargers.
And listen to John and I.
Zero. That's a lot of radios.
I know, but you got to do it, man.
0856 on the text line. If bars have the NFL Sunday ticket, they will be able to broadcast all Thursday games on Amazon. Okay. And many do.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess. That's very good. If they have the Sunday ticket, they'll be able to broadcast all Thursday games. All right, very good. So if you have the ticket, you have the Amazon. So I feel better for our friends in the in that industry.
Al Michaels on the call tonight, right?
With Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt in Fairfax, we will not tell anyone that you're using other people's information. Never mind. Retract that last statement. Retract that, please, from the record out there. Think it's going to be a good game. I feel good because Keenan Allen is not playing, and Keenan Allen is a Kansas City Chief killer. First home game. I like how the Chiefs, new look Chiefs, if you will, came out. As I said last week, it was tough to get rid of Tyreek Hill, but now it's... Defenses cannot sit back there and just concentrate on Kelce and Hill. They got to cover everyone, and Arizona could not do that last week. Kelce one-on-one was a handful. Chiefs got two other tight ends that are really, really talented. Juju Smith-Schuster was good. Eldis Scantling caught the ball, at least for one game. I'm told by Packer people that's good. I'm waiting for the... No, he's a new guy. He's a new guy in red. I don't know, but I feel good. I feel good. Not that Chargers are bad. Chargers are a very, very, very good team. This is going to be fun tonight. Really good football game.
Yes, it will indeed. And again, you can tune in KGYM Radio to hear that particular ball game.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit and talk with him about the Iowa football situation, Iowa State, where they go in 2022. and other things with Mike. We'll do that coming up. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you as well. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard here in just a little bit as we get closer and closer to the weekend. We talked NFL football a little bit. Of course, Iowa will take on Nevada on Saturday night. Podcast will be available tomorrow, Mark. The Before the Boom podcast, ready to go for your listening pleasure. Go to kgymradio.com. The panel will put that together, and looking forward to it as we get ready for Iowa and Nevada coming up. Iowa State will take on Ohio 11 o'clock on Saturday on all of our frequencies here on KGYM. 1 o'clock with the kickoff for that particular ball game. UNI's home opener, they'll take on Sacramento State coming up on Saturday afternoon as well. So a lot of football, as per usual, coming up this week. And some very interesting Big Ten games. Penn State-Auburn is an interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting game right out of the chute. And Nebraska-Oklahoma, big noon, or big noon Eastern time.
Yeah, is Nebraska going to be motivated with an interim head coach named Mickey Joseph? Who, when he was appointed, I couldn't believe this stat. He was the first black coach at Nebraska. Not just in football, any sport.
Really?
That's kind of hard to believe.
It is kind of hard to believe. It is kind of hard to believe. But if you're a Nebraska fan, I mean, this... I think it's a legitimate question. If he does well, if Joseph does well, you have to give him a shot at the head position, don't you? I mean, Nebraska's three games into it. If they end up going 6-3, 7-2 the rest of the way, let's just throw that out there as a number. Let's just say 6-3, 7-2. 5-4-ish is a little... that gets you to a bowl, though, right? They're 1-2 right now. That gets you to a bowl if you end up 5-4. Is he the coach? Especially if the players want to play for him.
Well, this will play out. There's no question about it. And I think if he does do well, he probably deserves a shot. But it's probably not a home run hire. Unless he does great things the rest of the way.
But it would be a home run hire in the locker room.
That's important.
That is very important. Very, very important. And that's the thing, though. That's the thing, though. Or do you go a completely different direction and go away from a Nebraska man, quote unquote, and bring in somebody from the outside and change up the entire culture? I don't know. Knowing Nebraska and how things have gone lately, he'll go 5-4, which will be 6-6, and then it'll be right on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it goes. 0983 on the text line, 319-366-1600, by the way, if you'd like to text us, or you can pick up the phone and call us at 319-366-1600. Wondering about J.C. Jackson tonight, the fine defensive back of the Chargers. He has an ankle injury. I heard it was going to be a game-time decision for him. Keenan Allen is out. Her J.C. Jackson will go through warm-ups, and they will decide then. I don't believe, let's see, 4 o'clock. Coming up, it should be during our show, they'll have the injuries report for both the Chiefs and the Chargers, the official one, and who's out as far as the game is concerned.
Okay.
So tune in, or tune on the internet, or... whatever. Do both. Do both. 324 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Best of luck to the Colonels tonight, Mark. I don't know if you have this on the scoreboard. They are in action tonight against South Bend in a must-win situation tonight in the Midwest League playoffs as they lost a heartbreaker over in Indiana on Tuesday night after a long ride back. They will try to force Game 3 in that particular series.
Yeah, and maybe a heads up to Linmar fans. That east parking lot may or may not be fairly busy.
I don't
think... Of course, that's between Kingston Stadium and Veterans Memorial. playoff games historically have not drawn
well.
Oh, capacity crowds. There's no doubt that that won't happen. But Linmar fans, if you travel, well, beware of the east parking lot.
We didn't have the triad this week, though.
No.
Last week we had the triad with a Rough Rider preseason game, a Colonels game, and a high school game. And the parking lot was a bit of a circus.
Should the Colonels win tonight, could happen again tomorrow. Not with the hockey, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
Nope.
Does not happen very often, but it certainly did last week. Whatever happens Saturday night, we will hear from head coach Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeye players coming up next Tuesday. And, of course, we check in with the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn each Tuesday with the head coach of the Hawkeyes. It is Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They are online at ncsei.com. Contact them for a free quote on office security. And tune in for that coming up right here on KGYM next Tuesday. Time to tune in right now for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's, open at 4. You can sit on the porch. It'd be a nice night to sit out on the porch. Going to be a good one. And say hi to all the good folks out there that help us out here on KGYM.
It's final in Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
The White Sox have defeated the Guardians 8-2. I'm not sure how to feel about that as a Twins fan.
Really good about it.
Of course you do. But that's a final on the Major League scoreboard. Tampa Bay leading Toronto 4-0 in the fourth inning. Saturday night for the Iowa-Nevada game, former Iowa assistant Carl Jackson will be the honorary captain. He coached 22 seasons at the university and part
of
some very memorable teams.
What a nice guy, too.
Indeed. T.J. Watt is out for 4 games. He's been placed on IR, Steelers IR, that is, with a pectoral injury. The All-Pro must sit out 4 games minimum. Finally, to complete our conversation about boxing, yes, Tyson Fury is your WBC champion.
It's a great name, by the way.
But Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk. Not familiar with him, is the champion of WBA, IBF, and WBO. So, get these two guys together and decide it.
There you go. For the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah, both undefeated. Fury had a draw, as I recall.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's move past that.
Matt in Cedar Rapids had to park at Jefferson with the triad last Friday. You weren't the only one, Matt. There were a lot of people. They were all over the neighborhood. Parking lots were full. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy it was Kennedy Wash and then Colonels and the Rough Riders had a preseason game all last Friday night. It was the triad. Doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's
a busy place.
It's a busy place.
Kurt Warner Way.
It is. It's a busy place. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Get you a weather update. And Mike Kloss, our friend from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, longtime Gazette columnist, will join us. Plenty to talk about with Mike, and we'll tee it up with him after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're in for another warm afternoon. Temperatures are going to be rising into the low 80s, and it'll be a bit more humid out there. Breezy, too, with winds out of the south. Later tonight, we'll have some more clouds in overhead. Temperatures drop down into the low 60s. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, still breezy. Temperatures in the low to mid 80s and more humid. We are going to have a dry day Friday with a chance for showers and storms increasing late Friday night. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Want more football? come see a special exhibit honoring the life and achievements of Papa Bear George Halas at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. This renowned player, coach, and owner of the Chicago Bears and co-founder of the NFL was a first-generation Czech American. Follow the story of his life through this exhibit featuring artifacts and photos from the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Chicago Bears. Don't miss Gridiron Champs, George Halas and the Chicago Bears, now at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library.
It's time to update your floors with Great Lakes Flooring from Menards. It's waterproof, durable, and it has an attached pad for comfort. This quick and easy to install flooring is sure to go with any decor. From wood grain and tile looks, we're sure to have the look for you. All Great Lakes vinyl plank flooring is 11% off at Menards. Good through September 18th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus four-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at CRST.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
Save the day!
January 8th!
8 days after New Year's Day!
Yeah. Is that right? Or is it seven?
No one cares! The Z102.9 Wedding Show!
Sunday, January 8th!
Cedar Rapids! See there!
Back with you at 3:31, Gym Class here at KGYM. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday. Chiefs and the Chargers coming up tonight at 6:30 for you and all our frequencies here on KGYM. Couple texts to get to real quick here about, we were talking about Nebraska, and would you like to see Joseph win a ton of games, keep him around, or kind of go in the other direction? Urban Meyer will be there, says 8186. Get that initial interview out of the way. And then 8077 says, remember, this is Nebraska. Fired Frank Solich after a 9-win season, and Bo Pelini won 9 games every season he was there and was fired. Yeah, that's not been lost on a lot of people, Mark.
Couple good texts.
Very good. All right. Speaking of good folks, we bring one in with us right now. Mike Halas, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, longtime friend of the program, joins us here on a Thursday edition of the program. And first of all, Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Wanted to ask you right away, you've been around Iowa football, covering Iowa football, observing Iowa football for a long, long time. As far as 2 games into the season, knee-jerk, on-the-field angst. Is this the highest or the most angst there's ever been for the Iowa football program?
Unquestionably. It's been a while since they lost a game in their first 3, I think. I mean, at least since the last time they led 2017 against North Dakota State, they lost the opener. And that was widely regarded as a really good team. There's been nothing like it. I mean, this is the first team in the country that's averaging under 200 yards in its first game in 17 years. In the country, not in Iowa. I think it's 17 years. Anyways, it's just real. It's one game is a tough day, but 2 games like that, and you got to call the fire department.
Quarterback Spencer Petras has, of course, shouldered much of the blame, criticism from fans, maybe some in the media. Yeah, a few in the media. In your mind, what's at the root of the problem? Because this is the same guy who won 12 straight games, threw for 17 touchdowns and only four interceptions not so long ago in a stretch of a dozen games, Mike.
Yeah. Well, sometimes quarterbacks don't get better. Sometimes, in fact, regress. It's happened at Iowa before under Ferentz. There's a lot of things. I don't understand some of them. I'd be the first to admit it. Is this the best quarterback play you can give people when you're a Big Ten program? Do you not have anything better in the waiting in the wings? How did you get to this point with the offensive line where you're running for less than 2 yards a carry? And the pass protection hasn't been very good. And when there has been time to throw, Petrus sails the ball over the receivers, can't even make the short plays. And, yeah, you've got receiver depth troubles, and that's a very real, legitimate thing. This many injuries before a season's really even gotten started is a weird thing. But the depth wasn't there anyway. They lost receivers to the transfer portal. They didn't replace them. They don't use the transfer portal. That's given other people an advantage because they do use it. And the offensive line, I don't understand. You know, the classes of a couple of years in a row, 18 and 19, just didn't pan out at all for them. And that's unusual. We expect better because we're so used to having it better. I mean, they've got a former defensive lineman playing center. And they're not the most experienced line, and it's just not happening for them. I mean, a former NFL player named Jacob Hester, who I was unfamiliar with, but he was on a national radio show, and they were talking Iowa football, and he said that this guy played fullback in the NFL, and he said that Iowa's tight ends tip off where they're blocking with every play. So, I mean, what you're talking about is it's when you're averaging 158 yards over more than one game, it's a complete breakdown. I mean, for those who are very casual fans, 158 yards, some teams fall for that many yards in a game, you know? You look around the rest of college football, and all you have to do is turn on any random game, and you're going to see teams move the ball. This is 75 yards a game worse than anybody in the country. It's preposterous, really. So where do you go from here? I think that there's going to be progress, but I just think it's not going to be wild progress. It might look like it's Saturday night because they're playing against a team with a weak defense that has no business stopping Iowa or anybody else in the Big Ten. But in a Big Ten schedule, the progress is going to have to be incremental. The receivers you're going to need Reganey and Keegan Johnson back, and they're coming back. You're going to need that line to progress slowly, and maybe it will. We've seen it before. Last year, it took until the bowl game, it seemed like. And then you're going to need better quarterback play, and we'll see if that comes or not.
Yeah, and one of our texters points out, Air Force has 158 yards a quarter they're averaging. So, I mean, just to put it into perspective there a little bit. We were all talking about this earlier today, getting together here in the office and in the studio, that you mentioned Nevada, and if the Iowa offense comes through this week, what the reaction is going to be, because it is expected this week. Because, you know, this is basically a tomato can coming down the way for Iowa to play. If the Iowa offense looks much better, are people going to say, well, it's Nevada, though? I mean, is it better or not? I don't know. I mean, that's the dilemma Iowa faces this week, right?
Yeah, all they have to worry about is being better. I mean, whatever anybody else says doesn't matter. They got to be better. If they can't score you know, 4 or 5 times. If they can't get 4 or 5 touchdowns against this team, there's questions. All right. I mean, I'm not ridiculing Nevada, but this is a team that's got 4 straight winning seasons, and they play in the Mountain West Conference. It's a good league. But they had a coaching change. They've got a new quarterback. They beat 2 bad teams to start the season. And then they played an FCS team called Incarnate Word last week and gave up 616 yards and 55 points. That's an FCS team that at home, I'll say it again, 55 points, 616 yards. If you can't get a semblance of that, and I'm talking, you know, 35 points and 400 yards, I think the questions are still there. And then the Big Ten starts. So, but the numbers of yards and points maybe don't matter as much as do they look like they know what they're doing? You'll start with that. And I think you can make some judgments from that. And then we'll see the week after that if it leads to anything else. And if they don't look a whole lot better Saturday night, you got to call the fire department again.
Yeah, one of the things you worry about, and it's a long list, is the confidence level of this team. There can't be much confidence. It appeared so at the start of the Iowa State game. When boom, it's 7-0 after a block punt and a couple rushes. But then you fumble at the 1. Terry Roberts, unfortunately, can't stay on his feet and return perhaps an interception for a touchdown, and Iowa State had similar woes. So, I mean, a couple of those things go a different way, and I was looking at 2-0 and maybe not statistically strong, but I could feel better about it itself.
Yeah, and you know what else? If you score more than 7 points in a game, you'd feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. If South Dakota State had broken through 1 time and scored a touchdown, you'd feel a lot worse about yourself.
True.
You'd be 0-2. They need confidence. The thing is, if anybody is most likely to believe in themselves, it's the players themselves. They're not going to – they just don't roll over and quit. They just don't. So, I mean, there is a lot of season left, and there's a lot of ways the narrative can change. And there have been times when we've written this team off before, and they've come back and, you know, I remember they got just crushed at Penn State. They had to play the number 2 or 3 Michigan team the following Saturday. Nobody gave them a chance. I think they were 20-point underdogs at home, and they beat them. Well, I don't know if any of that stuff's going to happen, but this has to be better than what we've seen. But my question is going to be, how much better? They're not playing a lot of powerhouses from here on out. They play Ohio State and Michigan, yeah. But you look in their own division, and, you know, even with all the problems they've had, you say to yourself, okay, but there's nobody in that division they can't beat if they don't beat themselves. So I'm not writing them off, but boy, I think historically you don't see offenses go from the way they've played into dynamos. It's going to require the same old formula that last year's team used in winning 10 games, which is, you're going to have to defend and kick your way to victory and not beat yourself on offense.
Well, with that being said, the defense and the special teams have been superlative, save for 1 99-yard touchdown drive against Iowa State. Won 1 game for Iowa with 2 safeties and kept Iowa from 0-2, as you mentioned.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, only a fool would argue otherwise. You hold any major college football team to 10 points, You should win the game. And Iowa held Iowa State to 10 points. It wasn't the defense's fault. You play the field position game as well as Iowa's played it over 2 weeks. You should win both games. You're wasting last week. Torrey Taylor wasn't what he was in the first game, but still, you know. And Iowa's kickoff coverage is fine. Iowa blocked two punts in the red zone. Who has ever lost a game in the history of football when they blocked two punts in the red zone and recovered both? It's not like the whole team stinks. I mean, if their defense was ordinary, you'd say to yourself, they won't beat anybody. Well, the defense isn't ordinary. It's one of the best in the country. If their special teams were just so-so, they'd be 0-2 right now, and you'd be wondering, how many games can they possibly win? So there's still a lot of pieces in place. I mean, I could give you a dozen names on the defense of players who played really well this year. And you know who they are. So hope isn't dead, but you know, people go to these games and watch these games to be entertained. They would rather win 31-24 than 7-3. They've seen enough football. It's not like the old days where you barely had football on TV at home. You see everybody, and you know that there are so many ways to move the ball, and that so many coaches and athletes can do it, and it's been done at Iowa. It's been done everywhere. That when you're this feeble at it, I it's within your rights to complain about it.
Not to offer this as an excuse by any means, but I wonder a little bit, Mike, whether the discrimination lawsuit has weighed on coaches involved. Coaches involved. Now, they want this thing dismissed, but I'm thinking to myself, if I've had this lawsuit hanging over my head, it's going to be hard to compartmentalize things on a daily basis. Is that far-fetched or not?
Yeah, I think it's a reach. Okay. I think when it comes to football coaches have football on their brains about 99.9% of the time.
I suppose.
Yeah. No, I mean, I look, if Iowa had the quarterback and offensive line from its 2015 team right now, you wouldn't be asking me that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, very true. Michael Laws joining us here on the Gym Class Thursday edition on KGYM. Well, let's go to Iowa State. They got the win, 2-0. And Matt Campbell's first win over Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. And talking with your colleague Rob Gray last week, said that was, aside from a Big 12 championship, that was the one box that they wanted to have checked off as far as Matt Campbell is concerned. They now have it. They get a little speed bump game before they get ready for their Big 12 opener, what could be a really big game against Baylor. Your thoughts about Iowa State and what they could do going forward in 22?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That looks like a pretty good league, and they've got a pretty salty schedule. The easiest mark on it, the one that you call the automatic win every year, Kansas, even they are starting to look like a football team.
Yes.
But you've got the problem is that you've got teams that have been in the middle of the pack who look like they could rise up and bite anybody. Teams like TCU and Texas Tech, Oklahoma State is tough as usual. So it's a good league, and they will start with Baylor, and that won't be any picnic. But this is a good program, and while Iowa State's offense certainly wasn't electric on Saturday at Kinnick, keep in mind that this was the best defense Iowa State's going to play, perhaps by far. And they, after shooting themselves in the foot and getting stymied by Iowa on multiple occasions, didn't lose the faith. the quarterback making his first road start at anywhere. It's in probably the hardest place he's going to play in his career. And he didn't get rattled. Made a lot of plays. They established a running game. They had a 100-yard rusher. And when they needed a 99-yard drive, lo and behold, they did it. And the way they did it, by methodically just, you know, ramming the ball down Iowa's throats on one drive, was super impressive. And then the defense, I realize their defense isn't going to get any credit because of the criticism Iowa's offense is getting, but I thought their defense was quite good. So, you know, it's going to take seeing them play a few Big 12 games before you get a real feel just where do they fit in that league. But I would be optimistic that they can compete against anybody.
Yeah, if Iowa doesn't turn things around, people are going to say, when does basketball start? And this basketball schedule for the Iowa men is very interesting. I mean, just announced yesterday the Duke game is a late-night game in New York City, and you've got weekend games that you didn't have before. Fran McCaffrey got his wish. It'd be an interesting season, I think, right, Mike?
Yeah, the Big Ten lost some terrific players, usually does, I suppose. But I you know, last year I believe Iowa was picked ninth and there were low expectations. And as we all know, they had a really fine season, fun season. And I think they're capable of that again. I really do. I think there's a lot of talent there. Yeah, you're losing the first-team All-America forward, but I think that the vacuum can get filled, and I you know, remains to be seen what kind of point guard play they're going to get or who's going to play the point, but there's, I think, 8 or 9 players that they can rely on, and you know, it's September, and it's going to take me a while to care, but what you said is they're going to get 6 games in a row here before New Year's that are pretty good testers. And I like that. I like how the college basketball scheduling has changed a bit so that it's not a complete exhibition season until, you know, the first of the year. So, I think that between the men and the women's teams down there, there's going to be a lot of excitement before the winter's over.
Will you enjoy that first 4:30 or 9:30 start, though, when the new media deal kicks in a couple years?
Yeah, you know, I just worry about tomorrow. I don't even, or not even that. It's, you know, it's like, should I go for a walk after I hang up with you guys, or should I just stay on the couch?
Was Hilostradamus close to the queen?
Well, you're the one who probably should be, being a duke and all.
Yeah.
True.
Mike's just an Earl of Sandwich, yeah.
would you prefer to have a king or a democracy? If you could switch to having a king, how would you like to do that?
We don't do politics on the gym class.
Well,
Mike,
that's not political. It's just, you know, would you like to maybe be a subject instead of just a citizen?
She was never controversial. I like that part. Democracy, please.
You know, the queen actually did drive past me once.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, she wasn't driving, come to think of it. She was riding, but I did see her for about a second.
She give you a queen wave?
She gave me nothing.
Oh, man. Hey, Mike, always enjoy it. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it, and keep up the great work, and we'll continue to read all your stuff on Twitter and thegazette.com. All right, man?
Okay. Bye.
Thanks. Mike Halas, good to talk with Mike, joins us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break, come back. Bowling Night in America, wrap up for you right after this.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Our thanks to Mike Kalas. Coming up tomorrow, the Emil's Hideaway pick six and a look ahead to the weekend in football. But we look back on Bowling Night in America fondly. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Your home of Bowling Night in America, week number two for the Evergreen League. Was a good one.
It was indeed. Looky here. The standings, the Rusty Nails in second place.
What?
I know it's like leading a golf tournament on Thursday.
Early Thursday.
Early Thursday. The Rusty Nails put together an 18.5 to 11.5 victory over Grill Works, moving the Nails into second place in the Evergreen League, 34 and 26, three games back of Pro Bowling Concepts. Nice night. You ended strong.
Had a, 258 to end,
yeah. Very nice.
I was happy with it. Wasn't happy with the first two so much.
Honors this week went to Doug Swoboda, who had a 299 game. Nearly perfect, obviously. High series, Chase Donner, 753. They were right next to you, weren't they?
No, they were down about midway.
Okay.
They were down about midway. We had the pals next to us. They're in good spirits.
Good or bad bowling, it doesn't affect them, does it?
No, it does not. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, we had a good night. We had a good night. Always good to, you know, bowl against. Good to have Buzz back. And Buzz and Matt and Sean and Shane and Mike. Mike bowled really well. So almost he had started at 7 in the first game. So they got to get Buzz. Buzz will get back in. He missed all last year. He'll be the left-hander will get back in there and going. But, yeah, it was always a good time when we get together with those folks.
If you want to have a good time at May City Bowl, give them a call. Check open lane times, league availability, what have you, 362-0136. Or you can always visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Couple texts before we set sail here today. Mike from Marengo, if we cannot throw a five-yard out to a wide-open tight end, it's going to be a long year. A long year.
It's like if you can't pick up a 10-pin, your average is not going to be very high.
Is there a possible culture problem at Iowa, or is it a style game philosophy problem? 0905 asks. And then 9843 saying that in 81, Iowa had a great defense, and the offense had games where they struggled a little, and we were thrilled with that team and its coaches. Well, Mark, you covered that team.
I did, because it hadn't won in three decades.
That's why they loved it, and football was a little different.
28-0 in the Rose Bowl, and but people were delighted because Iowa football was back and continued a pretty good rise through the 80s.
Not too bad under Hayden Fry. All right, Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Thank you very much for listening to the program. We appreciate it, and we'll be back with you tomorrow beginning at 3 o'clock. Wash and Lynn Martin tonight on CRM Live Sports. Chiefs-Chargers tonight at 6:30 on KGYM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, where the refs are always wrong and Dr. Pepper is always right.
Always.
Where the mountains are capped with cooler ice and children learn.